I'm very glad to be here and to be invited by my friend Lucien Hardy. Actually, I invited him to have the thrilling experience of having finally an Hamiltonian on a room. And so you can refer to this famous politician to solve. He's very smiling, but he's very nasty too, I remember. So I asked him today to be to be strong and nasty because there are some ideas that can be, I think, will be criticized. I'm very happy to hear that discussing with Lucien that actually he's homesick of Rome. He's homesick. I found himself almost crying this morning for this remembering how. So why don't you come again? I mean, I put you in the lab. Okay, thank you very much. So we are going to talk again because 1 week ago I had a short talk in Calgary at a conference, but I didn't have the time to express myself in a better, in a way of being criticized like I want today. Okay, as you see, we have tackling a big point. I mean, we believe to have done something significant in some kind of field that is strange, the Schrödinger cat field. I think we have to have a solution. My opinion is the best, of course. Is the best in this field. It's up to you to judge about. You see that there is an application there. I don't know if I arrived to discuss about this point. It is anyway interesting. Okay, there was 2 years ago a conference in which T.D. Lee, the Nobel Prize 1957, was discussing the philosophy of this of the trends of science in these two last centuries. And he was stressing the idea that in the 21st century is going to be the century of the holism. So where the big things are important, and of course when you talk about big things, you talk about complexity, mathematical, physical, biological. You talk about entanglement, and Lucy is an expert. You talk about the physical vacuum acting as a confinement and of the elementary particles. So these kind of things. I think we are in this regime. Actually, my idea is. My initial idea was quite a philosophical and important idea. Why quantum mechanics is good, is working in the laboratories, and why quantum mechanics is not working, is not appear to be working in a normal life. And this is very important. I think also Schrödinger was very much concerned about this point. So my idea is, why don't we start from to make a system in which you start from one particle, and you add another particle, and you add another particle, and you add another particle, and see what happens if you can follow the behavior of quantum mechanics going on. Actually, I was stimulated to do that by Giancarlo Ghirardi, a common friend from Trieste, that claims that at a certain point, there is some kind of transformation of the wave function for which naturally we can have a transition between quantum mechanics, the normal standard quantum mechanics, and the normal classical physics. And I actually don't believe it. I did not find so far this transition. So I cannot announce many big things. But of course, many people here are working in this field. I think also Lucien is working on quantum gravity. I think the point is look into these very subtle philosophical issues. And okay, I'm sorry that my solution will be too simple, maybe, but I think it's working. Okay, this is a cat, famous cat, for which you have the famous figure, in which we have one particle living and making in action a mechanism that breaks a file with the venom, etc., etc. The cat dies or not. So what is important is the cat entangled state. This is important. That is a micro-macro entangled state, micro between the state of the single particle, and macro is the big, is the big beast with many particles. This is the most difficult object to make, this state to realize, and I think there's not been a realization so far, and I think we have a solution to that. In order to dissipate discussions about Schrödinger cat or Demartini cat or Varoche cat, so I wanted to go back to original paper by Schrödinger, in which in 17 lines he summarized the problem. He just speaks about the Schrödinger cat in the 17 lines. There is no other reference. So if you read it, we can even set up a quite ridiculous cases. And he described the things and and stop. So he gives some prescription of this strange effect that he himself, Schrödinger, didn't believe it could exist. Actually, people claim that the Schrödinger cat cannot be realized in principle. If you send a paper to physical review letters and you put on somewhere, Schrödinger cat, the paper will be rejected back by Basbas saying you should erase this point. It happened to me many times, so we have to go to many phrases, microscopic quantum superposition. So they don't want to, and if George Balbas and Garisto says that the Schrödinger cat should not exist, it's better for you to believe it. If not. Okay. I had a real fight with them. Anyway, let's forget about it. But it's better for you to say yes and go ahead. If you read carefully these 17 lines, you find that the prescription are the following. Interference of two macrostates. Second, orthogonality of the macrostates because of life and death. So they should be orthogonal. Third, entanglement. Micro, macro, macro. This is, if you distill the message of Schrödinger, you find that. Actually, it's very interesting to think about to think about Schrödinger. Schrödinger, I'm very enthusiastic about this man. Reading his life, he was crazy. He likes very much the women, the students. He went around, invented quantum mechanics in a famous week that he took in Arosa with a student girl living his wife at home in Vienna. And so he's a really interesting person. And he was always ahead of his time. I mean, he was the man that in the same year, 1935, in which there was the EPR paper, in the same year he published this paper on Naturwissenschaften. And this paper was very influential to himself. In fact, about 8 years later, 10 years later, in 1944, he was able to set give a set of lectures in Dublin called What is Life? Remember, What is Life is a very interesting and extremely, extremely important because it was a book that oriented a lot of people toward molecular biology. In fact, 8 years later, in 1952 or 53, there was Crick and Watson, the founder of the structure of the DNA, and they recognized that how important was Schrödinger for this point. So we are on this line. So the reason why I like so much this person, apart from craziness, is this interest for the holism aspect of his own philosophy. Actually, he was philosophically, very much philosophically interested about Schopenhauer, and more than that, toward the Vedanta, toward the oriental religion of Buddhism. And it's very interesting to see his comments to the Vedanta. Okay, so in 1935 there was this this paper by EPR that everybody knows, in which you have two single particles going away, and you can write an entangled micro-micro entangled state, and this is of course related to the non-locality that everybody knows. So what we do is very simple. Why don't you put, if you work in the photons, so you have your micro-micro state, why don't you simply, it's trivial, add a parametric amplifier, and amplify by a small gain and risk the gain, the single particle into many particles. So far, we arrived to 1,000,000 particles, okay? So this is my solution. And if you see this, and you're going to demonstrate the non-separability of that, this is actually the micro-macro state that we want. Simple, but it's working, okay? since many theoreticians are here, I want to spend some time talking about this very nice machine. This is a parametric process in which you have two omega, I mean UV light in our case, and you come into a nonlinear crystal, beta barium borate, is a very expensive transparent crystal, and you come out with two beams, and you have, of course, in order to get the word still working, you have to match the phase matching condition. This, everybody knows about that. Momentum, energy conservation of this and that. So you enter with a beam, a powerful beam of a laser, and aleatory moment, you can have emission of two particles. You can select the particle to have the same frequency, and you can select with different K vectors or equal K vectors. We are going to show that. So this is our approach, in which you have type 1 crystal or type 2 crystal. Actually, in order to have entanglement, you use the type 2 crystal. And our scheme is this one. This one is the usual scheme that is being used for demonstrating the EPR effect. In our case, you have, instead of amplifying vacuum, like in this case, spontaneous emission, we inject, it's called Chiappa. Chiappa is a quantum injected optical parametric amplifier. Okay, there was two solutions. One solution was the first one that they published as a theory in 1990. It took 10 years for us to do this experiment. So for 5 years we didn't see anything. Okay, my students were desperate. It's very dangerous, because if you have students and you get in the lab and for 5 years they don't see anything, you destroy vocation. They went away, they went to some other business. It's very, this difficult experiment must be very dangerous in a lab. Anyway, my original idea was that take a spontaneous parametric down converter, emit two photons, and after a delay of the UV light, I mean, in order to have a perfect superposition, you go into the optical parametric amplifier. At that case, you amplify this thing, and you look what happens. This was actually, we're using for this way, of the qubits, you inject not a particle, you inject a qubit, a quantum bit. And the bit is a bit of polarization, so this polarization of light. And in order to do that, you use a crystal that is not simple, but anyway, it comes out with two cones, ordinary, extraordinary, and by two pinholes, you single out these two K vectors, K1 and K2, that comes out, and you see that since the two cones correspond to orthogonal polarization, corresponding to the ordinary, extraordinary beams, outside any couple is entangled in K vector. This is a famous is a famous scheme, and we use this scheme either for the emitter and for the amplifier. Okay, this actually, I'm very glad that my friend Vlado Buzek is here, and actually, I think you can just for that, because this kind of work, the concept of quantum cloning machine has been tackled many times for many years by Vlado Buzek and Mark Hillary, and actually we have many papers together on that, and by that you can you can demonstrate and working on the optimal universal quantum cloning machine, because this machine was realized actually the optimal universal quantum clone. Universal means that for any qubit coming in, for any qubit, you have a unitary transformation that emits, that treats in the same way, amplifying the same way the initial qubits. Optimal that this machine is adding a noise, but the noise is a minimum noise that that is allowed by quantum mechanics. So there was about 10 years ago, there was a lot of work, theoretical work going on this machine, but about 90% of the experimental work has been done in our laboratory by this machine, in general in collaboration with Vlado Buzek. So we realized with Vlado this point, we verify this fidelity, that is very interesting. Actually, remember that this fidelity from N to M, from the initial N to N output cloning, is equal to the famous quantum estimation of the found state plus another term. And this term is corresponding to an addition of entanglement that is correlates all the particle that comes out. So you see this beta is N is equal M, so you don't have any cloning, beta is equal 1, so the fidelity is equal 1. If the beta is very large, you see that you get the minimum effect. What is it? This is one of the very nice effects that we like most. We don't like so much quantum information in this normal, usual application. We don't care so much. We like fundamentals. And I think the quantum, universal quantum cloning effect is quite a fundamental application that is standing on the fact that the quantum mechanics is linear, linearity of quantum mechanics. There is another effect that we study, actually we are co-author with Buzek, universal NOT gate. On the same line, we found that it is impossible to find a universal transformation that takes any qubit from one point to the antipode on the other side of the sphere. This is an impossibility that we discovered, and the reason interesting is the no cloning is based on the linearity of quantum mechanics. This one is based on something different, something more refined. The fact that this transformation is not a CP map, is not a completely positive transformation. This is interesting. So you can see this scheme in which you have nonlinear side, linear side. Here you have the trace preserving states. And here you have the positive state. And quantum, the CP maps is a little part of the superposition of linear, positive, and trace preserving. Okay? So let me tell you that there is not an identification between linearity and that. Okay? So this is very interesting because we found a way in the same machine, I think we had a long discussion with Buzek, of making on the same machine, the realizing the quantum cloning machine on one side and the U-not on the other side, the cloning and the anti-cloning. And this was really interesting because You see, what happens here, you had what we have, I tell you the experiment was done. You enter with UV light at a very low level of amplification. You create an EPR, a single EPR effect, and one of them is rejected back. So this is called a self-injected optical parametric amplifier. The reason is that the working is done, that there is a small interaction, a smaller level interaction in this direction, but a strong interaction in back. So you see, going back, you have a strong amplification with this photon that is re-injected. So by this machine, that is the re-injected, reflected part of the previous machine I was showing, you have by this part, you could demonstrate the no cloning, and in the anti-cloning side, we could demonstrate the U0. So it's very strange that in the same machine, in the same experiment, you find in one side an effect, on the other side, another effect that are due to different non-overlapping properties of quantum mechanics. One property is linearity, the other property is no-CP. This is interesting. This was published in Pfizer Letters, and it still is a kind of open problem. It is nice. Maybe one of these famous theoreticians can solve this problem. What we want to do today is something more simple, in which the two beams coming out are set to overlap in the same beam. In that case, you have a scene. This was the original paper 10 years ago, in which we have an EPR here, which this was a trigger, and here you have the initial qubit sent in this crystal together with a UV. So it's not a very good figure because it's not so very much color. But anyway, I have a better figure. No, let me see. This figure is the same, in which we have an EPR here, in which one qubit is selected and measured by this detector, and the other one is sent together to the UV light at a very high level, or there's a different of gain. This gain is very small, the gain is very large. We reach a gain that is between 5 into 6. So it means that the beam is, the number of particles is e to the 10 divided by 4. So it's about 1 million, between 10 to the 5, 1 million. So it's a very high, I'm very happy because for the first time, you enter with a concept that was considered in the regime of electrical engineering, like a parametric amplifier, and we use as a quantum effect, as a unitary transformation. The parametric amplifier for us is a unitary transformation, high gain unitary transformation. Okay, this particular machine is not is actually a cloning machine, but it's not universal. So it's not universal like in the previous case. It's in a sense that it is called phase covariant. Phase covariant means that he amplifies in the same way only the qubits that we inject that belong to the equatorial plane, the phase qubit, okay? So you're using if you take the equatorial plane, we inject qubits that goes from linear 45 degrees and right and left polarization. Instead, the H and V, I mean the horizontal and vertical, are on the pole, north and south pole of the thing. So you have to be in the member. So we are working on this Hilbert space, in input Hilbert space, the space of this of this plane. Okay. So this is our machine, And actually, I want to tell you that this part here is interesting. I don't know, maybe I will talk, I will call later. But this is interesting because we want, as you see, with the two beings, the two states, two macro states, are selected by a polarizing splitter, and they push, coherently, a mirror BC. So we take a Bose-Einstein condensate. Actually, we are doing the experiment in collaboration with University of Florence, with Professor Catagliotti of Florence, lens in which he realized this thing. And as you see, this mirror back is made of many flats. It's engineering in order to have many flats, and this is a Bragg mirror. I'm going to talk about that later, okay? But our machine I'm going to talk now is this one. This is the optical part made in Rome, and it's working. And this is a mechanical part. And this is interesting because in that way we want to correlate, I mean, to entangle a microqubit in one side, on the Alice side, with a mechanical movement of this mirror in that. And this experiment will be done, one machine is ready in Rome, the other machine is being developed in Florence, but still with good results. I'm going to show them. And we should find the city to put them together. And we should debate in which city to put this thing, maybe in Cortona, okay? Okay. This is some theory. Since there are many theoreticians, this is a theory, so you can have what we realize apart from the entanglement. This is the initial qubit, and you map this initial, this plus and minus are the states, each any state on this equatorial plane I was telling you. And by this unitary transformation, that optical parametric amplifier is a real unitary transformation being a quantum cloner. So you transform this initial qubit into a macro qubit. And what is interesting is this transformation, apart from the noise of the no cloning, it is a small amount of noise, no cloning, is information preserving. You see that this alpha and beta are preserving the output. So this is very interesting. So you have a micro qubit, you enter into that, you get a macro qubit preserving the information. And if you make a calculation, you find that this is a typical state. These are Fock states, and these states are orthonormal. Perfect. They are orthonormal states, so the information preserving transfer of quantum superposition for a microstate into a macrostate by unitary transformation. So injected photon, nonlinear, and you come out with a big state. Of course, because of the no cloning theorem, we have some noise that we are going to correct, as I'm going to show you. So it's a quantum map. The map is that by unitary transformation. So it's nice to talk about electrical engineering in terms of quantum mechanics. It's much more simple. This was actually, excuse me?
In case your quantum noise.
If yes.
When you write down the notation for your amplified state, showing that alpha and beta are preserved as the coefficients of the two parts of the amplified state, are you neglecting the
I can give you the paper in which everything is done. It's not difficult because actually it's not easy to get from one of these states to that one because you have to apply some theorem, but it's not difficult. Anyway, I can discuss with you this. This thing is not.
The noise.
Deterministic corresponding.
Is there an extra term corresponding to the noise?
Well, there's no noise in the sense that the noise is in there. It is already is in there. I will show you. The noise is. Some kind of is due to the fact that you cannot resolve very well these two states. You could do with an ideal detector that is able to select photons by photon. I mean, the detector does not exist. The detector that can tell you that you have 100 photons and not under one photon and not 99. So the noise is related to, I don't know if it is in principle, it should be in principle non-perfect detectability of the orthogonality. So in order to do that, we are going to show we have to use a filter we call orthogonality filter that improves that. Okay? So this is not not a simple.
What you're saying is that the quantum noise that is necessary in the amplification process in the end comes up to not perfect distinguishability of your psi plus and your psi minus?
Yes.
Okay.
So what I mean is that this transformation there is no terms added. I mean, this transformation that you can do quantum mechanics from this to that, from plus and C plus, and from minus to C minus, it comes out perfectly by quantum mechanics.
I think you
can take the, so it's deterministic.
You can take the pump classically, and so there's nothing, there's no quantum system you're tracing over. I think the whole thing is unitary.
There is a vacuum, though. There is,
yeah. That's what made it initial. There is no vacuum there. I mean, there is no vacuum here, because the mode is occupied by your initial qubit. The initial mode is occupied by your qubit. I mean, the vacuum is, I mean, you have a qubit in superposition of these two things, okay? Of orthogonal, and of course, the vacuum is coming into the superposition because you have a superposition of a photon with a vertical and vacuum, and photon, vertical, and vacuum. So the vacuum is in there. The vacuum is in there. But you can come from this to that thing perfectly, I mean, without any noise. The vacuum is in there. And the vacuum is the effect of the Nocronin theorem. Do you agree, Vlado? Well, I don't say, I don't take responsibility. He's afraid of the comments later. Okay, I take all the responsibility what I'm saying. But the vacuum is in, because if you enter with a qubit on a mode, as I told you, polarization and vacuum, plus or minus single photon and vacuum. So the vacuum is built in the theory. This is the machine, okay? And it's exactly like we showed before. You have a EPR amplifier. You go there, and you have the two states, polarization, are found by these two detectors that actually are photomultipliers, because you have many, many particles. So our linear detector, this is something different from the usual experiment. And this OF is orthogonality filter. This is the most critical part of the system. Okay, what we do, we talked before to talk about the orthogonality filter, we inject by one photon, or we can inject two photons, okay? Okay, so entanglement between single photon and mesoscopic field, we already say that. Okay, this was a paper that came out just a month ago, in which in which we tested the non-separability by that. A macrostate by 3.5 10 to the 4 photon in a quantum superposition, et cetera, et cetera. So we first tested the entanglement. What we did is in one side, you have a microspin going around, and on the other side, in Alice's side, you find the on different bases, you find the sinusoidal thing with a very high visibility, and there is a criterion for which a necessary sufficient non-separability criterion is that the sum of the visibilities of this kind of procedure made on three different axes around the principal axis of the Poincaré sphere, they should be larger than one. In our case, we only use two of them. These are two positive visibilities, and we find just using two, we find that this condition is verified. So this is a demonstration that your system is non-separable.
For a maximally entangled state, what the maximal value of
for maximally entangled state, yes.
It would be of order of two, or what is the upper bound for this quantity?
I don't know. I have to think.
But one is the borderline, yes?
Yes. The borderline is that.
Yeah. I want to speculate this number 09, how far it is with respect to the maximum. This value could achieve.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know now. What I wanted to say at this point, but this is an important point, because this tells you that your state is a quantum mechanical. It's not a classical state.
How does that number C depend on the output filtering problem?
Well, this C is, if you, I will respond to you in a moment.
Okay.
Okay, this is a feedback. Okay, so if you, as I told you, the effect of no cloning, it manifests itself on the fact that this skyscraper corresponds to Fock states that should be detected by the two photomultipliers. And you see that in this region, in which they are superimposed, they are orthogonal, but they are interleaved like that. Like if you take, you want to read the two books at the same time, you can do that. You can take the two books, you shine one and the other one, but in order to be able to read them, you can do one in the morning, one in the night. You have to have the resolution of one page, of course. Instead, we don't have detector that has a resolution like that. So our idea, and in fact, if you don't use any filter, the visibility is very small. It's about 20%. And for years, we went ahead. So what we do the following. We use a threshold, for which I will show you mechanically, because I'm also an electrical engineer. So what we do, we enter with a photomultiplier output. Photomultiplier is a linear detector on one side and the other side. This is the balance, the trivial balance amplifier. And at the output, you get A minus B and B minus A. So it's balance. And after these two things are set into these two discriminators, and you're going to add the logical element, and you can change the threshold in order to change it. You typically, what we do to reply to the question is we cut off, we take about 10 to the minus 2, 10 to the minus 3. Okay? This is actually a pure, if you think about it, is a PUPM effect. So you select out of these two orthogonal effect, you select the part, why not? I mean, in your state, you should get the information from the state. I mean, why you should not get information? You have information that this is taking this mountain there that goes in that way, and this mountain there going that way, and you cut off by this method these two parts that cuts off this we call orthogonality filter. Okay, I am sure that many of you want to raise this hand. The point is that since entanglement cannot be created or enhanced by local operation, by any loss of filtering mechanism acting on each multitude, then the realization of entanglement over K1, K2 at a single particle level implies that entanglement is also realized over this mode on the multi-particle regime. This is striking. So this means that if you find entanglement for your filtered beam, this, since this is a the orthogonality filter is a local operation, okay, and the local operation cannot change the level of entanglement, cannot create that, this tells you that, your demonstration is valid also for the non-filtered beam. Okay? So if you have any question, this is a critical point.
If you change entanglement change, your measured entanglement change?
Yes, you change these feasibilities. But if you are able to demonstrate this point at the second point, this means that your system is safe.
So if I understand the filtering correctly, you have, well, whenever you get a click on the single photon side, on the other side you go to this circuit, and then most of the time you'll be in the white region. And then that
yes.
time
there's
no data.
And this is a POVM effect. And it's a typical POVM.
And if one of the detectors is much higher than the other, then you'll count
the data. Oh, you never, yes. One of the
factors. Then you'll count
the data. So one should be like that, and the other should be like that. Okay. And so this means that you lose a lot of effects. But this is typical of a POVM. POVM, you want to increase the probability of what you are guessing, of course, at the cost of reducing the effect. Of course, if you raise, you find a very small effect, but you are sure that you are there. So you have really, and this looks nice. The problem arises now when the so we can interpret the local filter like a noise induction process, counteracting the detrimental effect of the quantum no cloning theorem to the Kyoto. This is my physical interpretation of this effect. this Horace Wiseman was giving a talk in Calgary a week ago and was gave me this and that. So we have non-separability of the states, we demonstrated, stable state and Bell on local state. Of course, as soon as if you go to Bell, you restrict your field of application. I think here we have the most critical part of the effects. So because what we want to do, you can make the same machine in which we want to be more ambitious. Why don't you, instead of sending one single photon, spin one half, you don't send two photons detected here, and make the spin one to increase the working on the machine. Okay, so we have we do the same thing with the spin one arm going on the appropriate Poincaré sphere, and we do the same on the other side. Of course, with the spin one, the situation is much better. If you do the quantum theory, you find that I will show later, that the state, instead of having a small tail, has a very long tail. So as soon as you increase the number of input qubits, you have your orthogonality is getting better and better and better, because the amplifier is working better, and the quantum mechanical effect of the quantum of the output state is more reasonable. Well, we did use the same thing, okay, using a four photon source and putting two photons at the same time selected in the appropriate way. And on the other side, you have the Kiopa and you use the optical filter. And of course, detection of one photon, two plus, two minus data discarded. And this is the Bell inequality that we want to check, and we find that you violate this kind of Bell inequality. Of course, there are a lot of discussion about this. because of the fact, actually, I would like to have a criticism, and my friend, at a certain point, would become very nasty to because this is the question is how you can we are able to include in the correct evaluation of the Bell inequality the OF filter. Well, the OF filter is a local filter, so it does not part the what we call the fairness, the fair sampling. So the sampling is still fair because you don't have even touch the origin of the non-locality due to the initial EPR. I had some, this paper is under referee of physical review letters, and I tell you that I have two enthusiastic referees by the two people, by the two persons, by the two referees, unknown referees. Well, we are waiting for the second, maybe they change mind. So what we did, to summarize, is entanglement between single photon, 1935, let's put dates, okay? Entanglement between a single photon and a mesoscopic field. I'm sorry if I put myself on the range of like EPR, but what happens? Anyway, this is a Schrödinger. But what we can do easily is to entangle the macro-macro. This is easy, because once we have done that, it's more difficult part. Actually, my students want to do that instead of that. This is the entanglement swapping, taking the same copy of them and make a dimension, make it the so-called entanglement swapping, or to add another amplifier here. My student, Sharino, would like more, I prefer that, but would like to add a single crystal here. And this is an easy experiment. I think we already some data. I don't want to present them because they're very raw, but I think before the end of the year, we're going to have that. This is something interesting that goes beyond the Schrödinger cat. This is something which you can demonstrate the macroscopic Bell state in which these states are macroscopic. So it's a cat to the square, okay? Okay, what can be the application of that? If you go from 1 to n particle qubit, the third order non-polarized polarization can be enhanced by n to the 3 over 2. So you can, in that way, for example, if you make a 2 qubit, you know that if you want to make, this is a typical, very nice gate for the theoretician. But in order to do that, using the Kern linearity is impossible, even using the EIT technique, because the photon-photon interaction in the crystal is very, very small. But if you do this, you can enhance over a factor of 10 to the 6 or 10 to the 10 all photon-photon interaction. So this can be useful for quantum information. Actually, I will discuss today with Lucien. Why don't we do the quantum information using macroqubit instead of using microqubit? Because it's very efficient. Why do you, you have problems in sending to the moon like Richard Hughes is doing some beams related to one single particle, but send a macroqubit. You are working on a single particle. Here you have a million particles. So you can do, so for example, some realize for the first time, for example, a super dense coding by Bennett and Wiesner that has never been done in a good way. Okay, but there is a point there. This is a question, fundamental question. This is three slides by my friend Paolo Maioli working with Serge Roche and Economas Superior in Paris. They have a Schrödinger cat made of alpha state, alpha plus or minus alpha. What they have, in order to see a superposition, to see, they don't see. They have to use some atom, some very, they have to put the field in a niobium cavity that is an enormous, this is a niobium cavity. You see, it costs a lot, and they cannot make a single little hole, because if you lose a single particle, your superposition drops down immediately for the alpha state. In our case, we can do our thing. We can lose whatever you want, because after this mini beam split, you lose more than 10% of the photons. So there is some very funny reason for which. So we did some theory. I took one of my students and said, you do this theory. And this is a coherent state. This is a coherent state macroscopic superposition. Plus and minus are the orthogonal state that in a Roche case. What do we do? We make a theory. So the theoretician will be delighted of that. And the model is the following. Take a field, put a beam splitter. So let's simulate the scattering by a beam splitter. Increase the reflectivity of the beam splitter. And of course, the state out is traced over this loss. And let's do it for the coherent case and for the Chiappa case. Let's see what happens. It's very interesting. We found that we solved the mystery. So what you use as a visibility, you use this distance, a Bohr distance. You know this guy, Biosa, Bohr, et cetera, use that, 1 minus F square. F is the fidelity of the state. This is called by Ephraim Steinberg infidelity, I think it's called infidelity. So if this is large, this means the two orthogonal states are far away. The visibility is large. Okay, let's do the calculation and see, and look into that. These are the orthogonal state of the alpha state, and this is the orthogonal state of the Chiappa. And see what happens. Let's work at the alpha state. The alpha state is interesting. If you work out the calculation, actually, we were able to resolve the problem. It's not an easy problem, and it's not that very difficult. To solve this problem theoretically, perfectly without a computer. This is a computer calculation. But anyway, what happens is that the distance, if you go on with the reflected number of photons, for any n, for if you take this state and you put a billion of photons, this is a universal curve. This is a property of the alpha state. I don't know if anybody else has found this thing, but this is a property of the alpha state. For any n, you have the distance going like that. And you see that at one photon lost, you drop to zero. And this demonstrates that the Arosh is right. He cannot work with this field unless he keep all the thing. Can you imagine to put photons in the cavity and not losing one single photon? You have really to spend a lot of money, because you have to make a very nice niobium cavity, superconductive cavity. The theory that we have done tells us the following. This is a theoretical exact result. The distance is equal to that. And you see that what is determined is e to the minus 4 r alpha square. This means that this distance depends on the number of reflected or lost photons. Even if you have many, many, many photons into that. And this is exactly, this is a good check for our computer calculation of before. You can also, this is the reason. If you develop the alpha state into the Fock state, you find that the alpha plus minus alpha is made structure in that way. Okay? And so since the final thing, this is a physical reason, since the coherent states are not mutually orthogonal, if you, when you trace down over the lost part, suddenly these holes are replenished and this becomes a Poissonian again. So it's very fragile. The alpha state Schrödinger cut is extremely fragile. As soon as you lose a single photon, as soon as you need to trace over a very small loss, you lose the important feature of the thing. The important feature is there is 1, 0, 1, 0. And if you put minus here, you have another figure that is shifted 1 of 1. Okay, so this is a property. Oh, you can include into this theory also the fact that in the phase space, the two blobs of the coherent state can have an angle there. Instead of this one, will correspond to an angle of 90 degrees. But you can go up to zero, and you find that the same curve is still good unless you add, if you multiply by that. But this is a universal function from coherent state macro qubits. So we are very, maybe some many people has found that, maybe beauty, but I'm very proud of this calculation because our exact calculation. Okay, so you see that we approach this zero effect by a zero slope, okay? Let's see what happens with our cube. Oh, this is instead of being semi-log scale, you have you go in linear scale. You see that this figure is about is like that. Is like and you go to zero with a zero slope. What happens? And this let's go to the Chiappa. The Chiappa I have. This is a Planck distribution. If you apply a small gain, you get the distribution gets shifted in the other side. Let me see what happens. Oh, this is the effect of the orthogonality filter. The orthogonality filter cuts off this part here and just uses this thing. This is a Planck distribution. Okay. What happens in our case? In our case, it happens the following, that if you do the same thing, and if you use, for example, one with, this is a Chiappa case. In the Chiappa case, you see this is a linear scale. Instead of being exponential, it drops like an exponential at the beginning, and after it goes to zero, it gets to zero when you lose the entire number of particles. So, when your scattering filter is sucking out the entire number of particles, of course, they go to zero. But it goes to zero with a slope that is increasing with a number of particles. The number of particles gets, so at the end, here you have 12 particles, 12.25 average particles. If you go to a million, you have an infinite slope. Infinite slope means that you can lose 99% more of your photon and still having 30% or 40% of visibility. So I think this is a trick. If you go on the if you go on the semi-log scale, you can go, is that we have like that. There is a crossing point here, but you see as soon as you increase the number of particles, you get it with a higher slope to zero. So the difference is that. Oh, this is interesting because it shows that this is our curve for the equatorial qubit. You see, this is worse, but this is out of this equatorial plane. This is qubits, so this tells you that is not a good cloner in that case. We had some added noise because the machine is not a universal quantum cloning machine, but is a phase covariant cloning machine. It just works for phase state. Okay, let's use, let's go, still going on making theories and quantum computer calculation, and let's use the orthogonality filter. If you use the orthogonality filter, you see that as soon as you cut, you find that the distance is nothing, because you cut this mountain, you cut the relevant side of the mountain, and of course, even if you lose photons, you still have the visibility is practically constant, equal one. So this is the reason why you can get the very high. Okay, this is the Penrose cat. Let me see, change scenario. I have to finish because it's 5:09, so it's 1 hour. I think you are completely dead, almost dead on my word. Okay, this is an idea made by Penrose. It's very genius, theoretical genius, but experimentally, I don't think it's very good, because and I'm surprised that a very intelligent guy like Dick Buchmeister went into these crazy things, that in which is, but the Penrose is a good name, so certainly immediately was accepted for my physical review letters. Okay, the idea is to send a single photon into a beam splitter, very teeny, and move this teeny mirror. Okay, and a lot of people went into this business, Marco Saspelmeier in Vienna and other people with a lot of theory, et cetera, et cetera. But this mirror, teeny, but it's 10^-9 grams. So with a single photon, it's very, very difficult. In fact, what they wanted to do, but I think they are making a big mistake, in order to enhance the fact, instead of just reflecting, they want to use a reflective IQ cavity here and Q cavity here. But this is a mistake, because if you make an IQ cavity, the wave packet of the photon be larger and larger and larger and larger. So maybe the dynamical effect is larger, but you get farther and farther and farther by the solution. So I Marcus was telling me that they are putting everything in the liquid helium. Okay, so my idea is different. Discussing with Marcus, this idea came out in Vienna last year. He invited me to give a talk on the Schrödinger cat. He said, "Why don't you do our machine instead? We have a single photon here, and we entangle with a macro movement of a mechanical of a." Here we are doing the experiment. Actually, we are at the beginning, and to make this Bragg, we use a superposition of two constant beams, and at the moment in which the two beams arrives, the two beams are cut away. There is about five milliseconds for which this system stays, so we have plenty of time on doing the experiment. And I think we are able to do that. This is I think I have some experimental results. There's an experimental result just made this year, which shows that by using about 1,000 rubidium atoms and about 500 photons, we can actually displace the center of mass of the system. So this is one application, and this is some more details. We want to do another experiment that we're going to do is to make the micro-macro quantum teleportation. See, me and this guy, we made the first quantum teleportation experiment. So why we are entitled to do that in micro-macro? So sending a single qubit in one side and getting a copy outside, a macro copy far away. I don't have the time to do this study, but what I want to show you is some details. This is interesting. Look, what if you have 1 million particles, you can put a beam splitter, a TV beam splitter, take away 10% of the particles, and use the OF filter and move a shutter in this way, you can engineer the field that is passing through. You can engineer by making the shutter up and down by, for example, is what we want to do by this is to create for the first time a Fock state with a very high degeneracy. For example, how can you do a single Fock state with 500 photos into that? You have to amplify. And the best amplifier is the parametric amplification. But how do you get out these things out of the distribution that you get? You can use the OF filter like we are going to use. And this is a machine by which we are doing the micro macro quantum teleportation. But I want to show you the this one. This is very important. This is a very simple optical electronic shutter working. So you in order to cut off the real, to get out with a real filtered part, we have a two calcite crystal and the pocket cell inside. And usually the filter, the beam do not pass. But when you have a signal from the OF filter, you apply a very fast field and you get the things out. So this is able to get rid of all the noise or the garbage that is associated to the no cloning theorem. I think it's enough for today. So I'm expecting criticism and yelling, and thank you very much.
So first of all, it's a great experiment, and it was very difficult and it's very well done.
You like it?
Yes. Second, because you asked for criticism, I do not think that you made you demonstrated a micro or macro entangled state. And the heart of why I'm skeptical is the OF filter. And I guess I have two reasons for that. One is, I think that you can simulate, using the OF filter, you can simulate these same results with an entirely classical state. And second is a more sort of intuitive reason. On the slot, one of your central slides where you talked about the separability test, one of the things was that no local filter should be able to change entanglement, which was part of the justification for using the OF filter, except that when you tune the probability of the OF filter, your measure of the entanglement changes, which makes that seem that seems to violate the justification for why that's a separability criteria, or at least it confuses.
I don't think so. I think what your criticism is more apt to criticize the non-locality issue. But as far as the quantum, I tell you that one of the nastiest person I know and the most critical is Nicolas Gizem, and we had a long discussion about it. Okay, he's a very tough guy. And sometimes he's right, sometimes he's wrong. Many times he's wrong.
Well, can
but Gizem tells me that you're perfectly, this is not a reply, I don't want to. But I think that you are saying, what you are saying is right, as far as no separability is concerned, you are adding a local, completely local procedure. You can forget about everything, but this is local.
Let me just ask one quick question then. Do you think that you could use a separable classical state and using a setting of your OF filter reproduce your visibility curves?
Classical, no.
Okay. And I will sketch for you my
no, because this is entangled state. The entanglement is not due to the OF filter.
So it's due
to the original EPR couple.
So if you could find a separable classical state which could reproduce your results, then you would think that this was not in fact micro macro entanglement.
I was talking about that. I was thinking about that, but I don't think I can find it. If you can find it, thank you. Send me a letter. but this is quantum.
Yes, once again, very nice.
Ephraim. I'm sorry. Awesome. or the lady first claims F prime from this on us.
When you showed your OF filter, thinking that it is based on photocurrent subtraction.
On?
Photocurrent subtraction, you had some different signal from two PMT.
Oh, yes, these are you have two photomultipliers.
Yes, well, it seemed to me that in this way you basically you measure correlations like two mode squeezing. Am I right?
Perhaps.
Okay.
Why not?
Well.
I don't care. I mean, I see what is going in and what is going out. What happens there? Perhaps. Why not? But my opinion is such that it's a black box. Take it there. It's a black box that they put. As a matter of fact, look. When you do an holocaric experiment, you use a, if you want to use a photomultiplier, you always out of a photomultipliers, you have to put the original papers by Aspect, Roger, etc., etc. But then photomultiplier, and the photomultiplier has a trigger, has something that cuts the noise part of the signal, and they can move it. The only thing that since they don't put on the paper, people's claims of beautiful experiment, but try to describe exactly like a photomultiplier works. Anytime you put a photomultiplier, I know because I'm an electrical engineer, you put the threshold, and you move the threshold as you want. If you take the famous Zeilinger experiment teleportation, it does even more than that. It cuts the noise artificially by calculating it before. So this kind of discrimination is already in the effects of the any linear detector. Of course, the nonlinear detector, the usual single photon detector, they have intrinsically this kind of thing because they have a discharge, right? So it's nonlinear. But if you use photomultiplier like Alain Aspect was using, you always have some trigger that you can move as you want. So to put this thing and to say clearly that we have done that is more honest. And we could have also said that we can do it. We go to the detector. Forget about that. You say, oh, beautiful. Yes, but if you want to use the photomultiplier, you have to put some levels, some discrimination. So the point is there is another point that no one so far, including Zeilinger, including Aspect, including myself, including but the theoretician, of course, but no one so far has found a proper non-locality proof based on this kind of things. Because there are many, many loopholes. The first loophole is the fact that, like John Bell was saying, if you have a single quantum effect, you should take all the possible particles coming off. And of course, for geometrical reasons, and for frequency reason, we are down of 10 to the minus 7, 10 to the minus 8. So here we worsen the situation because we increase the detectivity problem. But what I'm claiming that of course we are working on a very hard field. You have any criticism?
I think it's a beautiful experiment, and I think, as you said, it's clear that you have not demonstrated a violation of locality. Like everyone else, you have a detection loophole. But whether within the context of assuming quantum mechanics is correct, you've demonstrated entanglement, I think you've obviously generated entanglement. The question of whether you proved that you've generated it, we can discuss later. But most interesting to me is the difference between the particular kind of macroscopic state you make and a true Schrodinger cat. And I think your study of loss is really important here.
What the theory that we made?
The theory and also what it implies for the feed-forward experiment you're proposing. Because I think the difference between the kind of macroscopic orthogonal states you have at a Schrodinger cat, it's just a suggestion, is that in some sense in a Schrodinger cat, there are many copies of the same information. Once the cat is dead, I could imagine studying any part of the cat and telling that the cat was dead just by investigating one part of it. With your state, I think this isn't true. I think once you split that state in two, you can't get the information simultaneously from both parts. I think, in other words, that having the amplifier and then a beam splitter, as you want in your feedforward scheme, would be very much like first having the single photon hit a beam splitter and then having two amplifiers at each output port. The photon would only go one way or the other. So only the output of one of those amplifiers would have any information at all. I don't think you can actually get the information twice from two different parts.
Now, this is a very important, this is actually is the point. This is actually the point, because people say that when you have a coherent state from the quantum superposition, as soon as you get one photon out, you get information of the state. And this conceptually cancels the thing. In my case, I get information anyway. And still I have a photon there. This is crazy. In my case, I can have thousand photons getting out, and I know in which state they are. So this is a crazy aspect of my experiment. I want you, as a theoretician, to help me to understand. Because here you can lose. I see when you go to zero by this distance with an infinite slope, you can lose 99% of your photons out of the beam splitter and still have a sizable, this is the reason why I think it's working, a sizable distance. It's crazy. It's crazy. So if you have any solution to that, I will appreciate receiving an email, because this is really is the point, because Arosh rightly say I cannot know if I lose a photon. Well, I lose 99% of the photon, and still I have the information.
If you could get information out of both ports when you split it a beam splitter, then you could simultaneously measure in two different bases that don't commute. So I think once you post-select on the orthogonality filter succeeded in one port, you'll find there's no information left over in the other.
Perhaps, yes. Okay, you're fine.